This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, we are more than a third through the NFL season. It's October 17th as we enter week seven, believe it or not. It flies by. Boys and girls, it really does. So we're going to do our power rankings in about 15 to 20 minutes, but we're going to go through each conference. Denton's going to fire off teams and ask the simple question, playoffs, yes or no? He'll answer it. I'll answer that. At the end, I do want to tell you something that I just kind of figured out in between the break about the chances that Washington has not only to win a division, but to capture a fairly high seed in the NFC. I'll tell you about that at the end. Denton, why don't we start in the AFC? Let's go.
All right. Yep, let's do it. We'll start at the top with the AFC East. How about Buffalo? Do they make the postseason?
They do. Yes, they're in, and I think they'll win the division. I got Buffalo, yes, as a playoff team. You?
I do have Buffalo as one of my seven playoff teams, and I'm with you in that I think they win the AFC East. There's rumors that Tua Tagovailoa is coming back soon, Kevin. Can his return lift Miami to the postseason? They're currently 2-3.
Miami does not make the postseason.
I am in agreement with you there because Tua is coming back, but he's coming back when the weather gets cold, and Miami stinks in the weather. How about the Jets? Devontae Adams reunites with Aaron Rodgers. Do they make the playoffs?
They do, and one of the reasons they do is you're going to have a chance in the AFC to be one of the three wild cards with like a 9-8 record. The way it looks right now, 9-8 is going to get at least one team in the AFC in, and it's possible it'll end up getting two teams in. So I say yes on the Jets.
I'm going to skip the Patriots unless you have a really bold take
here. Wait a minute. What did you say to the Jets?
Oh, yes. Sorry. I forgot about me. I do have the Jets in the postseason. I have them as the final the final spot in the AFC. I got them as a seventh seed. I will skip the Patriots unless you want to get really bold with Drake May. Okay. To the AFC North we go. Baltimore. Baltimore making the playoffs.
Of course.
Yep. I'm right there with you. We saw it firsthand. They got real opportunities to get to the Super Bowl this year. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I say no.
I am in agreement with you there as well. I do not think Pittsburgh gets in. How about the Cincinnati Bengals?
Again, 2-4. Because there's going to be an opportunity in the AFC for those three wild card spots. Like right now, you could just say Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City, four division winners. Okay. It may not play out that way, but right now they're kind of heavy favorites to win their respective divisions. After that, the three wild card teams, you don't have another winning record team in the AFC East right now. You only have one in the AFC North, and it's Pittsburgh. You don't have any winning record teams other than Houston in the AFC South, and you've only got one in the AFC West, and it's the Chargers. So there's going to be a chance for 9-8 teams to make the AFC playoffs, and maybe more than one. So I say Cincinnati, yes.
I agree with you in part because if you look at their remaining schedule, I mean, they got a road game against Baltimore in November, but they could be 5-4 by then. And then outside of that game, there's really not a lot of what I would call
they
losable
games. They play Cleveland
games twice.
They play the Broncos. They play the Titans. They play the Raiders.
Just the Cowboys. You know, they stink.
They play the Cowboys. That they stink too. Yeah. So I'm with you. I think Cincinnati's good enough to, you know, at 2-4 to go 7-4 the rest of the way. Yes.
Cincinnati, yes,
in the AFC.
We're going to skip Cleveland unless you think Jameis Winston is going to be their hero. We don't even know if he's going to play. So we already have four teams then between the two of us. How about the AFC South? Houston getting in, yes or no?
Yes, of course. They win that division.
Yep, Houston wins. I will give you the Indianapolis Colts. Do they get in with Joe Flacco?
The answer is no. And I think that they're going to regret, you know, the Jacksonville loss. Flacco played in that game. They scored 34 points. They put up, you know, a ridiculous number of yards, like nearly 500 yards, but they couldn't get Jacksonville off the field. That'll be probably the game that cost them a potential wild card spot. I say no to Indy. What do you say?
I say no to Indianapolis as well. Any bold predictions?
We haven't disagreed yet.
We have not, which is worrisome, but I think in the NFC we will. How about the Titans and Jags? Anything there?
No, neither one of those teams.
No. All right, AFC West. We got Kansas City. They're 5-0. I'm going to assume unless Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, the answer is yes.
I think they're going to make it.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. How about the Chargers? They're 3-2.
Yeah, the Chargers are going to be a wild card team.
I have the Chargers as well, which means we don't have to talk about Broncos or Raiders because that is 7.
No. We have 7. I mean, I'm looking at like KC, Baltimore, and Houston. You know, you can't discount Houston. They're 5-1 right now in terms of the opportunity to compete for the one seed in the AFC. They play both the Chiefs and the Ravens late in the season. I mean, there are, remember that Houston's got that, you know, Houston, Kansas City, and Baltimore are all involved in that Christmas Day a doubleheader, and they're also going to play on the Saturday prior to Christmas Day because Christmas is a Wednesday. You know, Houston plays Kansas City on that Saturday leading up to Christmas, and then on Christmas Day against the Ravens. Those two games could determine, you know, who ends up, you know, the seeding. You know, because the seeding more likely than not is going to go Baltimore, Houston, KC, 1, 2, and 3 in some order. I guess Buffalo could make that run too, but I think those three teams, Baltimore, Houston, and KC, kind of stand out in the AFC, and they're going to be some massive late season games. I mean, the Chiefs and Ravens have already played, so the Chiefs beating Baltimore. But it's going to be interesting between those three teams in the AFC. And then after that, you know, the AFC East winner will be a 4 seed. And then, you know, you're going to – in the it's not going to be that way in the NFC. But in the AFC, you're going into the last few games with like 6-7 wins. You're going to be in it. You're going to be mathematically in it and a chance to snag one of the three spots.
You know, it's interesting. At the beginning of the year – it felt like the AFC was the hardest team to predict who is going to be in the playoffs. And now the AFC is, I think, still the hardest team to predict who's going to be in the playoffs. But that's because I don't really love the Chargers.
Right. For
like,
reasons.
I had to struggle for finding that 7th spot because of the Tua injury and because of the way that teams like Cleveland, who I thought based off of last year were going to be good, or teams like Indianapolis haven't taken that step forward.
All right, let's get to the NFC.
All right, to the NFC we go. We're starting in the East, the Commanders. Do the Commanders get into the postseason?
They do.
They do. All right, I agree with you. I think Washington gets into the playoffs, and we all rejoice. How about Philadelphia? Does Philadelphia get into the playoffs?
So this is going to be really interesting, because I think there's going to be one spot. You know, that last wild card spot in the NFC, like the way I've looked at it, and I'll give you the yes, no answers on the specific teams, but I think there are going to be three teams from the North. You know, there's going to be the division winner and then two wild cards. I think there's a chance there's going to be two out of the NFC South, Atlanta and Tampa. And now you're into, okay, well, where does that 7th team come from? Does it come from the West with Seattle? Or does it come from the East? So I'm going to say yes on Philly. I still believe the Eagles, talent-wise, are among the four best teams in the NFC, talent-wise. They could completely fall apart because of a real dysfunctional situation. You know, right now in the NFC East, the Cowboys are a mess, the Giants are a mess, and the Eagles are a mess. And Washington is the beacon of stability. Go figure. It's great to be in that position finally for once, but I'm going to say yes to the Eagles. I don't think they're going to win the division. I think Washington's going to win the division, but I think the Eagles could certainly snag the final wild card spot. What do you say?
I'm going to say no. I think they hate their head coach, and for whatever reason, I think management does not want to fire their head coach. And the longer you keep that toxicity in your environment, the worse it's going to be. So I do not think Philadelphia makes it. I think they fall apart for the second season in a row.
I'm going to be interested to see to hear where your seventh playoff team comes. But go through the other two NFC East teams.
How about Dallas at 3-3?
No.
Yeah, Dallas is big time. No, they're a disaster. Everybody in Dallas hates Dallas. It's fascinating. How about New York? I know you were big on them last year.
Yeah. The answer is no, but I'm going to just tell you that the rest of the way, they're not going to be a fun team to play because they are very good defensively, and they've got right now the leading or one of the top two or three leading candidates for the defensive player of the year in Dexter Lawrence. And they could easily right now be a 4-2 football team rather than a 2-4 football team. They're not going to be fun to play. Now, we know how this works, right? If they lose a couple of other close games, say to the Eagles and the Steelers the next 2 weeks, and they're 2-6, you know, things start to unravel. Maybe they start to deal players at the trade deadline, etc. But for right now, you saw it with Cincinnati on Sunday night. That was not fun. Cincinnati got the crap beat out of them by the Giant defense. I mean, it was rough. Burrow, every time you looked at the TV, he was barely getting up. He had a great game. You know, he kept coming back, slinging it. But they're good defensively, the Giants are. But no, they're not a playoff team.
Interesting stat about the Giants. They're one of only two teams in the NFC that has not scored 100 points yet. The only other team that is with them has played one less game than they have. Offense is not very good.
And think about that. Think about that, right? They lost by 3 to Washington. They lost by 5 to Dallas. They lost by 10 to the Bengals, but it was really a 10-7 game. I mean, Chase Brown broke one late when they were trying to run the clock out. But that game was all 3 of their 4 losses, totally winnable games for them.
All right, to the NFC North, how about the Vikings? They're 5-0. No one has really gotten too close to them, although the Green Bay Packers made something interesting a couple weeks ago. Do the Vikings get in?
Yes, and Charge pointed it out when we had them on last hour. They're 5-0, and they played the toughest part of their schedule, at least based on what it looks like now, the 49ers, Texans, Packers, and Jets. They do have to play the Lions twice. They have to play the Bears twice. They've got another game against the Packers. The NFC North is going to be wild, but they also have games against the Rams, the Colts, the Jags, the Titans, the Cardinals. So, yeah, I mean, it would be hard at 5-0 for them not to make the postseason. So, yes, they make the playoffs.
I agree. I do think they make the playoffs. However, I do not think that they win the division. So I think they end up being as a wild card, which leads us to the Detroit Lions at 4-1. They're on a 3-game win streak. Do they get in?
Yeah, because they're just flat out one of the two or three best teams on paper in the NFC. They also have the experience from last year. And, you know, I would say that in the NFC right now, I mean, the 49ers subject to change. My opinion could change on this. I think Washington and Detroit are the two best offensive teams in the conference.
I would agree with that, although Tampa has scored the most points.
Well,
Atlanta is
really the one you got to keep an eye on.
Right.
Because they've been unstoppable now for 3 or 4 games in a row.
I do say Detroit gets in as well. How about the Green Bay Packers? They're 4-2. They've won 2 in a row.
Yep. They're in 2.
They're in 2. I happen to agree with you. I think Green Bay gets in. I think Green Bay wins the division, to be honest. I think Jordan Love is the best quarterback
too.
In that division. I think
God, we're agreeing on everything. I do, too. I think Green Bay is going to win the division.
Yeah, I think they win that division. How about Chicago? Does Chicago get in?
No, they don't. They're not. They're a good team, Denton. They've got good players on both sides of the ball. I mean, you know, Charge pointed out, and it's true. I mean, Jalen Johnson's one of the best corners in the league, and the matchup with Terry will be exceptional. You know, we'll get to see Montez Sweat. We'll get to see, you know, Tremaine Edmonds. They're good. They're good everywhere, and they've obviously got super talented wide receivers, and the quarterback keeps getting better week by week. So I'm not counting them out. They haven't beaten anybody. You know, they've beaten Tennessee, a banged-up Rams team. the Panthers, and the Jags. The good team that they played, Houston, they lost to. They only lost by six, but it was ugly offensively. So the problem is for them, their next three games, Washington off their bye week, but then it's the Cardinals and the Patriots. But they still, look, they have to play the Lions twice. They have to play the Packers twice. They still have the Vikings twice. So I say no to the Bears, but they're at that division's just going to be nuts.
This is where we're going to disagree. I like Chicago to get in. I think everybody from the NFC North gets in for the first time in NFL history. We get an entire division into the postseason. I think they're going to find ways to split at least some of those division games. That's what is why I think Minnesota's going to falter a little bit. I think the NFC North is going to kind of Big 12 itself a little bit, if you don't mind me making a college football reference, to where they're all just going to beat up on one another. But I do think Chicago ultimately is going to steal a postseason spot, and I think all of the teams in the NFC North get in.
That would be a first ever. Remember last year, I think, was the first. Wasn't it the first time all four teams in a division finished with a winning record? The NFC East in 2022 didn't have a team with a losing record because Washington finished 8-8-1. But I think last year, the AFC North had all four teams finish with a winning record. But all four didn't make the playoffs, right? Because Cincinnati didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, Cincinnati did not. Yeah.
But they did end up with a winning record, right?
I believe so. I can double check on that real quick.
Yeah,
I believe
so you've got all four NFC North teams as playoff teams.
I do.
Okay. All right. Continue.
NFC South, Atlanta. Does Atlanta get in? They're 4-2. They've won three in a row.
I think they do. They're not a great defensive team, but if you've watched the Falcons here over the last five games, you know, after that opener against Pittsburgh, and really starting with that, you know, long drive to beat the Eagles on Monday Night Football, they really should have beaten the Chiefs. I mean, there should have been an interference call in the end zone at the end. They've just been really good, and they are versatile offensively. They can run the ball. Tyler Algier is becoming, I think, the star. I always loved him. I loved him at BYU, and he's got Bijan Robinson next to him. They basically, you know, alternate and split the carries. But Algier is an absolute monster, and they've got, you know, skill position players. Drake London is going to have, you know, his biggest year ever. Darnell Mooney's going to have his biggest year ever. You know, Pitts is starting to fit into it a little bit better. They're really good on offense. They can beat you with Kirk throwing for 500 like they did two games ago, or they can beat you like they did on Sunday against Carolina with two backs basically rushing for 100 yards. So I absolutely think Atlanta will be a playoff team at the end of the year. The problem is, of course, when you're that, you know, vulnerable defensively, you're not going to hold up when you get there. But I do have them as a playoff team.
I have Atlanta winning this division. So, yes, I have them in the postseason. I think Kirk is starting to fit in there. He's going to go to the trap, take over the trap, right? So I like Atlanta to win it. How about Tampa Bay? You got Tampa in there 4-2.
I do. I have Tampa, and I have this division basically just coming down to, you know, the last game of the season. They don't play each other the last game. In fact, I think they play each other in a couple of weeks. But this division will be one of those where, you know, it'll probably be decided by a tiebreaker at the end with two teams at 10-7 or 9-8. But I've got Tampa's, yes.
I do not have Tampa team in. Obviously, all my wild card spots are taken up. I want to see a little bit more here.
Oh, you had them all. I had them all in the NFC North.
I want to see more here, but there's something about Tampa that is rubbing me a little bit the wrong way in this type of conversation. I mean, they got a game this weekend against Baltimore. Then they got Atlanta, the Chiefs, the 49ers. Like, that's a really tough four-game stretch. So maybe by the end
of
it.
What's their four-game stretch? Hold on. Let me pull it up.
It's home against the Ravens on Monday night. It's home against the Falcons. It's on the road against Kansas City on Monday night. And then 49ers.
And then the Niners.
Yeah. That's a tough four-game stretch.
Well, that's, keep in mind, that's kind of, they're going through what Atlanta's already gone through.
Yeah.
You know, Atlanta had, you know, at the beginning of the year, it looked like it. Steelers, Eagles, Chiefs, Saints, Bucks. And the Saints were, at the time, you know, a 3-0 or 2-1 football team with all those points scored. So the Bucks still have to play those teams. Wow.
Now, after that, it gets way easier. I mean, you get like the Giants, two games with the Panthers, the Cowboys, the Raiders, and the Saints. And at that point, the Saints will be, I mean, it's probably Spencer Rattler mode from here on out anyway. But that four-game stretch is tough.
That stretch for Tampa, okay, Ravens on Monday night, Falcons the next Sunday at Chiefs 49ers. I mean, if you're Tampa, you got to win at least one of those games. And if you do, you want it to be against Atlanta because you've already lost a game to them. So I have Tampa as a yes. You have them as a no. San Francisco, we both have as yeses, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So my – so this – so KC, Baltimore, Houston, Buffalo, Chargers, Jets, Cincinnati, we had the same NFC teams. My AFC teams, excuse me. I had San Francisco, Washington, Green Bay, Atlanta, Tampa, Minnesota.
Detroit.
Hold on. Did I just put eight teams in? I did. So the answer to Tampa for me was, I can't.
No.
I can't have Philly in.
Yeah, you can't have Philly in Tampa. Yeah.
So I put eight teams in. Can't do that, Kev. So I'm going to go with Tampa Bay over Philadelphia. I've got Philadelphia as a no now. Okay. So the three teams from the NFC North with the other wild card team being Tampa. So I wanted to just mention something about NFC seeding. And I'll get to that when we come back because there's an interesting, you know, NFC opportunity for Washington, which goes beyond just winning the division. I'll explain when we come back. We also have our power rankings when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll get to the power rankings here in a moment. But as you look at the NFC landscape, there are some interesting possibilities for Washington. Like, if we believe that the NFC East is there for the taking, not just because Washington's a good team with a really good quarterback, but that Dallas is in complete disarray. You know, also add to that, they're not very good. Philadelphia is talented, but they appear to be, you know, ripping apart internally from the seams. And if you believe they're going to win the division and you just, you know, kind of play the schedule game, which I hate to do, but there's a really good chance to win 11 games, you know, which they haven't won since 1991. You know, they're 4-2 right now. They have games against the Panthers. They have a game against the Giants. They have games against the Titans and the Saints. That's four right there, you know, that you know you'll be favored in more likely than not. I'm assuming the Saints will still be terrible. I don't know. Maybe Derek Carr will be back at that point. You know, like we say every year, it's not about who you play. It's about when you play them. And the Saints could be a perfect example of that. You know, is Derek Carr back? Is he playing? Is Olave back and healthy? Or, you know, who knows? Rather than if you played them right now, like tonight, like Denver is, they're devastated right now injury-wise. They're starting Spencer Rattler. They don't have a receiver, a starting receiver, that's going to play in the game against, by the way, a pretty good defensive team. But if Washington somehow, you know, won, let's just call them now, the games that they're supposed to win, the Panthers, the Titans, the Saints and the Giants, okay, although I don't think the Giants are a should-win game, but it'll we'll see what it looks like. And then you can split with the Cowboys and the Eagles. Maybe we think they'll sweep one of those two teams. And you can get one somewhere else, the Falcons, the Steelers, the Bears. And you can get to 11 wins. Do you know what's going to be in play in the NFC? The one seed. As in the seed that makes you have home field advantage throughout. That makes you not necessarily the favorite, but you don't have to win three games to get to the Super Bowl. You only have to win two, and both of those games would be at home. And the reason I say that is because the NFC North, they're going to beat each other up. Not to mention the teams that are still on their schedules, you know, the rest of the way. Like the we'll exclude the Bears. But, like, the Lions still have, in addition to their division teams, they still have to play the Texans, the Bills, and the Niners. You know, the Packers still have to play, you know, the division teams, the Texans, the 49ers. They got to go on the road and play the Seahawks. Minnesota probably has the easiest run, but they may be the team that loses the most within the division. So if Washington were to get to 11-6, and then the NFC North beats the hell out of each other, plus they've got other tough teams on their schedule, and let's just say the winner is 11-6. Maybe there's a two-team tie between Green Bay and Detroit, or Green Bay and Minnesota, or Detroit and Minnesota at 11-6. And then the NFC South winner, the truth is, both of those two teams are capable, but are they capable to win more than 10 games? I don't know. They're both, you know, the Falcons currently sit there at 4-2. They still have tough games left. Tampa still has tough games left. I don't put them at the top of the conference. Let's just say they win the division with a solid 10-7 mark. And then you get to the 49ers, who have already lost three games. They play the Chiefs this week. They still play the Packers on the road. They have to play the Bills on the road. They still have to play the Lions at home. Late season, they got to go to Miami to play. Maybe Miami's healthy. Maybe they catch them at the wrong time. What if the 49ers from 3-3 only got to 10-7 or 11-6, even though that was more than good enough to win their division? 11-6, if Washington gets there, is probably in the hunt for a one seed. Worst case, in the hunt for a two seed. The two seed, remember, does have to play at home the opening weekend of the postseason. But if you win, the next weekend, the divisional round, is at home as well. The two seed gets two home games, but has to play opening weekend, wild card weekend. The one seed gets the bye, and then they get home field for the next two if they win, you know, their first one. Just something to keep in mind. It's early. Things change. Understood. But at 4-2, and with what they have and what they may be capable of doing, even though I don't think with this defense they would be a threat even with home field advantage to get to the Super Bowl, although that makes it a more intriguing case, but The NFC North is going to beat the hell out of each other. The NFC South probably doesn't end up with an 11-win team, more like a 10-win team, whether it's Atlanta or Tampa. And the NFC West, the 49ers are the key. Like, it's pretty early to be rooting for things like this, but we definitely want the Chiefs to beat the 49ers on Sunday. You know, you get them as many losses so that if you end up having to play them in the postseason, it's at Northwest Stadium. That's what they call it now. All right, let's get to our power rankings.
Rank 'em 1 to 5.
I've got the power.
NFL power rankings.
Was that a bit
rankings.
Premature, Denton?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of feels like when we were talking about the Nationals playoff rankings in May. We're like, well, we still got a lot of season left to go.
I get it. But the chances of making the playoffs and winning the division, they're the favorite right now. Like, if they weren't the favorite to win the division and they were 3-3, obviously the conversation would be really stupid. It may be stupid to enough of you already. And look, I'm fine with that. I just, as I'm looking through the rest of it, you know, back in the day when they actually were, you know, before we knew that they were really a bad organization, everybody at the station called me Mr. Playoff Scenario Guy. I had all the playoff scenarios figured out. It's been a long time since I've really, you know, delved into that hobby, but I just did it today, and I'm like, you know, if they get to 11, they could certainly be in the running for a 2 seed, worst case, which would really, you know, make it more likely that they'll win a playoff game because they would be playing the 7 seed in the first round. More likely than not the favorite in that game. And then they'd have the next game at home to get to the NFC title game. All right, power rankings, Denton. I'll go first. We'll go number 1 through number 5. Because number 1, I think, is easy. I've got KC at number 1, the Chiefs, as one of 2 undefeated teams. What's really funny about my top 5 here is I'm not going to have the other undefeated team, the Minnesota Vikings, in my top 5. Because right now, I think Baltimore is the second best team in the league. Actually, I think you could make the case that they're the best team in the league right now. And the last 2 weeks have turned it around for me because Lamar's just playing at a ridiculous level. This is Lamar Jackson now at his peak powers, and we're going to get this for the next few years, and it's going to be fun to watch. And Baltimore, you know, they got to win it. They got to get there, and they've got to win one. And he's going to need to get there and win one for his legacy because he's already a Hall of Famer, people. You know, I love the conversation. Remember before the season started, and it was like, yeah, I don't want Jaden to just end up being Lamar Jackson. I want him to be so much more. And maybe he will be, but Lamar Jackson is a Hall of Fame player who has now developed into a guy that can just sit back in the pocket and kill you. And he just has to get over the hurdle of getting to a Super Bowl because quarterbacks really do have, you know, even though it's the most dependent position in sports and you're only out there half the time, you know, Marino's legacy has been, you know, dinged because he only got to one and he didn't win one. Lamar's going to have to get to a couple or at least get to one and win one. Baltimore's number 2 on my list. Number 3 on my list, the San Francisco 49ers at 3-3. I think it's about to start coming around for them. They looked really impressive in their win against Seattle last Thursday night. Big time game, obviously a Super Bowl rematch game. I wish Washington and Carolina this week were playing at 1 o'clock because I'd love to just kick back and watch San Francisco and Kansas City from Arrowhead in that time slot. Number 4 for me, the Houston Texans. They're for real, Denton. They are definitely for real when it comes to, you know, being explosive offensively. I like everything about C.J. Stroud. I like everything. How long is Nico Collins out for?
He's out for at least 4 weeks with the IR placement.
Yeah, that doesn't help. This game against Green Bay Sunday at Lambeau is a hell of a matchup. I actually thought about putting Green Bay in this spot, and maybe I will next week. But I've got Houston at 4, and then I'm going to do something that I, you know, shouldn't be able to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to give Detroit and Green Bay the 5th spot. Both of them. I could not decide on which one I wanted at number 5.
We're just breaking rules over here.
Yeah, we're just breaking rules. And that means I've got Minnesota, Washington, Atlanta, you know, on the outside looking in of the top five. You know, certainly Minnesota would be the biggest omission for most people. What's your top five?
So our top two are the same. It's the Chiefs and the Ravens. I would greatly push back on anybody that doesn't have that combination in the top two through the first 6 weeks of the season, particularly with the way that the two quarterbacks have been playing. But at number three is where we differ. I have Minnesota in there. Minnesota has not allowed anyone other than the Green Bay Packers to score over 20 points against them. I mean, their
Green
defense
Bay scored those late,
and they scored them late too, right?
Their ass kicked.
So it was what you could consider to be garbage time. I mean, this defense is so good, and then we've talked about their remaining schedule. Even if I'm not the biggest of believers in Sam Darnold, this is the perfect situation for a guy that's a fine quarterback in the NFL because he really doesn't have to do a ton. They have not been put in a position, and I don't know that they will, just looking at the rest of their schedule, be put in very many positions where you're like, hey, Sam, it's the fourth quarter. You have to go win us a football game. So as of right now, I got Minnesota at that three spot, and then I have the Texans at four. They're really starting to pick up steam, and I mean, trading for Stephon Diggs was great with a Nico Collins injury. And as you know, CJ Stroud and Stephon Diggs get more and more chemistry, more and more time together, I think that is just going to flourish. And then I did not have the tough time deciding at number five. I put Green Bay. And it really came down to, one, the Aiden Hutchinson injury. I think that hurts what the Lions are going to do defensively. But outside of Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love is the best quarterback in the NFC. I like Jared Goff. Don't love Jared Goff. I love what I've seen from Jordan Love since his return from injury. He is so good. So I have the Packers at number five.
Do you know that the Aaron Schatz DVOA overall ranking, Minnesota's the best team in the league and Detroit's the second best team. Then it's Baltimore, KC, followed by San Francisco, Houston, Buffalo, and then Green Bay's 8, Tampa's 9, and Atlanta is 10. Washington is 12 because their defense is still, you know, low ranked. It's 28th, but they're second in offense. Their special teams, by the way, is ranked 6th overall in the league per that metric. But they have Minnesota, Detroit 1-2, followed by Baltimore, KC. The Minnesota thing is interesting, man. Their defense is one of the best defenses in the history of the league through 5 games. They've only played 5. And so even in this day and age where offense trumps defense, and it does, when you're that dominant on defense, and by the way, you are taking away the ball, where are they on takeaways? I think they're pretty much, I think they're up there. They're third. They're third behind. Green Bay's number one in the league with 17 takeaways. Chicago's 2 with 13. Minnesota's 3 with 13. How about that? Those three teams in the division. By the way, Detroit's got 10 takeaways. You know, this is always a telltale every year in the NFL, you know, turnover margin, you know, positive turnover margin. Once you get through, you know, at least a third of the season, Green Bay's number one in turnover margin, Buffalo's 2, the Chargers are 3, the Steelers are 4, Chicago's 5, Detroit's 6, Minnesota's 7. Those top 7 teams all with winning records. And then you get to New Orleans. They're 8. They don't have a winning record. Then it's San Francisco and Tampa Bay to round out the top 10. So 9 of the top 10 teams with a positive turnover margin have winning records right now. But in terms of takeaways, you know, Minnesota's dominant, and then they're 3rd in takeaways. Wow. Washington, not so good in takeaways right now. Just 4 total in 6 games. That is 28th in the league. Not good enough.
They've got to get better. As Steve Spurrier says.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, we've seen defenses be not very good as NFL fans, but their defense takes the ball away at a decent clip, so it kind of masks the fact that the defense gets run on and gets thrown on and gets moved on, but somehow they're able to create turnovers. You got to be good at one of those two things, either stopping people and forcing people to punt or taking the ball away. And right now, they're not good at either one of those two things. They can't stop anybody that's good, and they can't take the ball away. So that's something that, you know, Quinn and Witt Jr. obviously came into D.C. from their year from their years in Dallas and being great at taking the ball away. That's got to improve. It typically doesn't improve, though, Denton, without at least some semblance of a playmaker in their pass rush. That's the problem. Or you're just playing a bunch of bad quarterbacks, which they actually aren't playing a lot of great quarterbacks the rest of the way, right? I mean, you've already played Deshaun. You've got Andy Dalton. You've got Caleb Williams. You got Daniel Jones. You got whomever starting in Pittsburgh. You got Jalen twice. You got Will Levis. Who knows who will be starting in in New Orleans? You got Dak twice, but who knows what that'll look like? The best quarterback left on their schedule is you know who. In this 17th week, next to last week of the season, it is. It might be the best offensive team on their schedule the rest of the way. Atlanta on December 29th. Okay. There have been a couple of, you know, trade deadline stories written and some suggested Washington trades. We'll go over those when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Good news for the Commanders. Brian Robinson has practiced the last 2 days. He had missed this past weekend's game with Baltimore with a knee injury. He told reporters yesterday that he felt good after practice, but it's up to the coaches whether or not he's going to be good to go this weekend. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Titans released safety Jamal Adams. In Major League Baseball, the Dodgers take a 2-1 lead over the Mets in the NLCS. Shohei Ohtani hit a monster 3-run homer in the 8th inning. Game 4 tonight, that'll be at 8:08 p.m. Game 3 of the ALCS at 5:08 p.m. this afternoon on TBS. The Yankees hold a 2-0 lead over Cleveland. That game is in Cleveland. Last night, the WNBA final, Sabrina Nescu hit a big three-pointer to lift the Liberty over the Lynx 80-77 to take a 2-1 series lead in a best of five. New York is now one win away from a championship. And Caitlin Clark was named All-WNBA first team, the first rookie since Candace Parker in 2008 to be named to the first team. And that's what's trending.
So all of the trade deadline NFL columns are coming out. Here's the latest on CBSSports.com. Washington's involved in the story. They trade for T. Higgins, wide receiver, Cincinnati. Denton, I would ask you this question since you are kind of a quasi-Bengals fan. Why would they trade T. Higgins? I understand the contract. I understand that. But this season's far from over, and they're less of a team if they don't have the Chase Higgins combo.
I think that's not a trade that you make now. That's a trade that you make closer to the deadline in the event where the Bengals are like 2-7 and the season is clearly over. And then they're like, well, we're not going to keep T. Higgins. We might as well get something back from him. Although I would flip it. If I'm going to make a trade with the Bengals, let's just say hypothetically, Kevin, their season has gone to waste. I'm asking for Trey Hendrickson. You need a pass rusher. He's a pass rusher.
What's his contract situation?
They didn't give him an extension. So he's available, yeah, a free agent at 2026, but he wants a restructured deal. They didn't give him one. I would call about him and say, look, if you guys aren't going to sign him long term and your season's over, we would love to take him. And you could probably get him for like a third, fourth round pick. And I know Adam Peters doesn't love to give third, fourth round picks away, but I don't know if you're getting a better pass rusher in the third round than Trey Hendrickson is now.
Yeah, by the way, I don't know if Adam Peters likes to give away a third or a fourth round pick or not. We don't have enough history with Adam Peters. The 49ers, you know, when he was there, were fine with giving away picks, you know, when they were there. So, I mean, they traded a boatload for Christian McCaffrey. They traded a boatload to move up to take Trey Lance. I mean, they didn't make every, you know, move hit, but they were aggressive that way. So I'm not sure that we really know what Adam Peters is afraid of and what he isn't afraid of. You know, this is a startup, basically. He took over a franchise with a clean slate, and the clean slate is still clean, but, you know, there's a lot more to discuss much earlier than we thought, which is a better team with a potential elite quarterback and one weakness. And right now, everybody seems to be focused on Washington, you know, outside of the area Washington and the wide receiver market, whether it's T. Higgins or Deontay Johnson in Carolina. Obviously, it's no longer Cooper or Adams. No, for them to take a big step forward this year and to be a legitimate NFC contender, they've got to find, like you said, Trey Hendrickson, or they got to trade for a Denzel Ward. They've got to trade for Hassan Reddick. They need impact players on defense. Here's a question for you. If I told you Reddick or Ward, meaning, you know, it doesn't have to be either one of those two players, but impact pass rusher or impact corner, which would you prefer if it could only be one?
I would definitely take, if it's just those two players, I would take Ward. If it's one or the other in terms of position,
I'm just saying
I would take edge. I would take a guy that can get pressure, but I'm out on Hassan Reddick. I don't want him.
That would be my preference, is they would find the right guy as a game-changing pass rusher versus, you know, a legitimate cover corner. You know, we'll see. So ESPN, Bill Barnwell had, you know, suggested moves, and he actually did not have Washington as a buyer in his trade deadline deal. He suggested that Washington trade Emmanuel Forbes to the Chargers for a swap of a fifth and a sixth rounder. Can you imagine? I mean, literally a year and a half after picking him number one in the first round, you get a fifth rounder, but have to give him and a sixth rounder back to the Chargers to get the deal done. Oh boy. You know what? It really doesn't matter. You know, these are sunk costs really when you think about them, because there are other, you know, one of his trades is Bryce Young to the Dolphins from the Panthers for a conditional fourth rounder, the number one pick in the draft last year, being traded a year and a half into his career for a conditional fourth rounder. The other thing I noticed in reading some of these stories here is the Hassan Reddick compensation is not going to be steep, because you got to pay him, right? So I've seen Hassan Reddick traded for anywhere from a fourth to a sixth. In fact, Barnwell says Detroit trades for Hassan Reddick now that Hutchinson's out, and they only have to give up a 2026 sixth round pick. I mean, that's like nothing for Hassan Reddick. But the issue, of course, is you got to pay him. You know, you got to give him an extension. And you got to be convinced he's the right guy to do that with. The NFL game tonight, Denver and New Orleans, one of the worst Thursday night games we've had in a while. I mean, I'm going to watch it because it's the NFL on TV. Who do you like? Do you like a side?
Denver's
a three-point favorite.
I don't love a side. Honestly, that game, I hope it's good, but I looked at the schedule and I was like, man, I got some episodes of The Penguin I need to catch up on. I might be doing that.
Virginia Tech plays tonight. They play BC. The Hokies actually have played well recently. They're 7.5-point favorites. I kind of like them to blow out BC tonight. Not an official pick. Not that I'm going to give you, you know, a reason to love my picks anyway after last weekend. But we will be back tomorrow swinging once again. All right, that's it for the show. Thanks to Sam Fortier who joined us. Thanks to Charch. Thanks to all of you. Chris Russell next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.